to Through the Mist with me, your host, Joe. This is a Void and Verse Theory podcast where we look at the lore and try to understand how it all works. In this episode, we'll be looking at
Valkyries.
Mistbusters, hello, welcome back. Hello, yes, new episode. Whoop whoop, party in the house.
Very exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. And who was that voice? Hello, mysterious voice.
Undisclosed voice.
Who are you?
I'm Megan.
Oh, and what do you do, Megan?
I also run a podcast, which is what brought us here today, and I'm half of the Monstrous Woman podcast with my co-host Quinn.
Yes, you can do another intro at the end or whatever. You can do it now. Do you want to do it now or do you want to do it later? It's up to you. I don't care.
Let's do it at the end.
Okay, we'll do it at the end. If you want to know more, wait till the end.
stick around
guys. We've got a guest, and that's always exciting to join us for this one. But before we go any further, as per usual, we've got some housekeeping to go through. So, again, I posed the question on the Instagrams, @through_mist if you want to go follow. Or you could always email through.t.mist@gmail.com if you want to get involved and you don't have Instagram. Yeah, so I posed a question again. It was based off the last episode with, how do you feel demigods' powers are gained? Like, what was your ideas? What were your ideas? What were your thoughts? And the only one we had was good old friend of the pod, Darian. We all know Darian. We love Darian. Darian's great. So, Darian has written, or said, don't have a theory for types of powers, but for power level. Each demigod has a piece of their parent's power, and there's only so much divine power to go around. Modern children of the Big Three are ultra powerful because there's so few, brackets, basically no siblings to share powers with. This would also explain why the plentiful children of Demeter are considered not powerful, despite them being one of the first goddesses and older than Zeus. Just that last bit was shouted, so that was, you know, the shouting. And there's parts of that, I'm like, yeah, like it would, it, but I'm also questioning it. Sorry, Aaron, it's my job, it's what I do. I question and like, I'm sorry. Great, love it. Thanks for the reply. It always makes it more exciting when I've got something to read out in that segment and not just go, why does no one talk to me? thanks for that. And it is cool. The idea of them sharing the power, it's fun. And we truly have no reason to say that's wrong. So, yeah, that's great fun. Hopefully you guys will have ideas about whatever I ask about this episode. But in other news, what has recently come out for us? Do you know what, Megan, okay, I've got to have a little rant now here.
I'm ready.
Do you know what I find annoying? Every time I post an episode, the week after, Rick posts something to do with the show. And I'm a monthly podcast. So it's like, we're just like off sync by a week. And they did it again.
Yeah.
We did it again.
It's really rude of him, actually, to not be on
really your channel. Rude. I know, yeah. It's like I'm a month behind all the announcements because that's just how it works.
That's really sad.
Yeah, if you haven't realised, a teaser trailer dropped for Pojo. Whoop,
whoop, whoop. It's awesome.
It was very exciting. It looks very cool. It looks very pretty. I'm excited. The cabins look really cool and awesome and different, and they're all different cabins. We see Athena's for sure. We see Poseidon's for sure. And then I'm going to assume Artemis, because of how the numbering should work, even though it doesn't quite... There's people on the stairs, and that has me questioning.
Right, because that should be empty.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and it got amazing views on the YouTubes. So very well done.
People are so excited.
It was trending number 10 in the UK, so, like, I don't know if that trending page is this consistent across the world, but in the UK it was trending number 10, and that's pretty big, considering it is smaller over here than it is over there. So well done, everybody. Big claps all round. Claps, 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 claps. You've got any thoughts on the trailer?
I wasn't sure if they were going to do the I didn't want to be a half-blood opening line or not. I mean, I didn't know if it was going to be in the show, and I really didn't expect it in the teaser trailer, but I was worried that
it's going to be in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it might just be for this purpose, but
yeah.
I was worried that that wouldn't go well. I was like, I don't know how you can make that not like too corny. Even though it is media geared at children, so I guess it would be fair. But I was like really impressed with Walker's voiceover. I was like, oh wow, you made this really cool. Like
edgy.
Yeah. He has a very like edgy Percy already, and I was like, oh wow, he did that interview saying that he was like bringing more anger to Percy and stuff, and like he wasn't kidding already.
It's happening. Let's get hyped. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's all the housekeeping for this month. So we'll move on to the episode now.
Hold up! My turn.
So, it turns out housekeeping wasn't quite done yet. Hello, future editing Owen here. So housekeeping wasn't quite done yet because after recording this episode, someone on Read Royden decided to accidentally leak some very fun and important pieces of information. The episode title for the new Nico book. So, the new book. I don't know what those noises were. Oh, God. So, the new book, The Sun and the Star, and Nico D'Angelo Adventure. I love the name. I love the name. Oh, I'm excited. You excited? I'm excited. Is it my mic? I don't know. I'll find out later. But like, it's here. It's hype. Yes, we also got a cover reveal. Ah! And it looks good. And it's the same cover in the UK and the US, just different type faces, text fonts. So, you know, that's a bonus for Owen, who always gets the ugly British books. And we've got a release date, 2nd of May, 2023. I've already pre-ordered it, just so someone's aware. So it's already pre-ordered. I'm excited. I'm very excited. I hope you guys are excited for this book. It's going to be Nico. It's going to be Will. They're going to go to Tartarus. They're going to save Bob. Who's ready? I am. Let's go. Anyway, back to your normal schedule of programming. Talking about today then, Megan?
We're talking about the Valkyrie. Is that the right, like grammatically, did that make sense? The Valkyrie?
Valkyries.
Right. Okay. Valkyries.
Plural. But yes, besides, yeah. Yeah, it made sense. It made sense to me. I knew what we were talking about. But then I am the host of this show, so.
Right. Good that we're on the same page then.
Yeah, exactly. So we're talking about the Valkyries. So we're in a Magnus Chase world. We're in Magnus Chase. Because why not, you know? Psh, done with Percy. Psh, talked about that.
Who's that guy?
Talked about that today. We're gonna go focus on the world of Magnus Chase and Norse mythology. Which means get ready for basically no mythological backgrounds at all. But we do have some, which is always nice, but they're all also really confusing. And there's... No one can agree on anything in Norse mythology, like history. Like, the historians can't agree on anything. And it's getting on my nerves. So, what is a Valkyrie? Well, their name comes from Chooser of the Fallen, which is kind of cool. And is a female spirit, helping spirit of Odin, the god. You know, big all-father, almighty, sits on the chair, dude, you know. I don't know if he sits in a gem mythology or if that's just Marvel influencing me. Psh, one or the other.
He probably has a throne.
Yeah, I would also guess he has a throne. It just feels like, I don't know. Anyway, so they, like, some of the main, like, top tagline description I found for them was they were elegant noble maidens bearing the dead heroes to Valhalla. And that was their primary job, maybe. Partially.
It seemed like it. At least when there was war going on, which was probably very often.
Yes,
so they were busy.
I mean, the Norse were a busy people. A lot of ransacking, well, invading, ransacking, also creating laws. It's expanding their territory. We'll put it that way. They were very big on that, so they were battling a lot of the time. That is the version, that overarching version, that tagline version, is the version we see a lot nowadays. But people, once again, as I mentioned right at the start, they are debating whether this part of them, the noble maiden guiding heroes to Valhalla, being like helpers of Odin, is a true part of Norse mythology, like what the actually the Norse thought of it. Because again, recap for those that don't know, Norse mythology is written by Christian monks. They're the only ones that took that, wrote it down somewhere, because, you know, why would you write down your religion? You're gonna live, you're gonna last forever, never gonna die out, and the world's never gonna change, so why would you?
No need to prepare
for future humans going, what did they mean by this? Nope, not at all. If you are a future human listening to this and you're confused, join the boat.
Us too.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so one of the funner, I don't know if it's called, I don't know if you could call it more fun, but they had a gruesome side at one point, maybe, who knows. It was a different point to side of them that I found, and I was like, we'll talk about it because of it. There is this poem which talks about a group of Valkyries sitting at a loom and weaving the tragic fate of warriors. Some gross descriptive warnings now for anyone that's, you know, I don't know, just be warned. So they use intestines for their thread, severed heads for weights, and sword and arrows for beaters, all while chanting their intentions with ominous delight. So, you know.
Very Norse.
Very Norse. Very Norns as well of them.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that, like, they're more light side, where they're choosing who gets to go to Valhalla and like looking at people's valor, is what sort of survived and is in pop culture. But I'm sure it was probably not so optimistic or like heroic in the actual context.
So the theory is that they didn't just choose who went to Valhalla, or they did, but then they also got people to die to help that person get to Valhalla. And they went, nah, you're dying today, mate, because this guy's going to Valhalla. Like, that was, you know, that's part of the idea. But it's also that, and also because it's all about the fate of the humans, it's questioned if somehow they were linked to the Norns, so the fate readers that we only ever see in book one of Magnus Chase, and like the mythological history. I know that's not the right word, but like, you know, how gods and stuff are like, passed through cultures and then change and morph through time, like Greek to Roman, that sort of stuff. And because there were also some Germanic myths, which have a similar thing to the Valkyrie, but the gruesome side, so the choosing who lives and who dies in battle side, that side of it. Another odd link that they might have is to Freya or Freyja. Freya, I'm just going to call her Freya from now on because it's easier. Linked to them as Freya, like the name or something derived, can she sometimes called the one who chooses the slain. This is unsure if it's like linked to her world of the fallen, and even if she was like the original Valkyrie and then it branched out into multiple Valkyries there were over time, that sort of stuff. The other random fact that I found was, you know, they have names, but they're basically like descriptive names, so like Bright Battle, which I guess is what names start off as, is you've got a big head, so you're now called Big Head. That was a really bad example.
Yeah, not as good as Bright Battle.
A better example would have been, I don't know, like Like, a blacksmith then gets the surname Smith, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's, like, deed-based.
Yeah. You are a blacksmith, so we shall call you Mr. Smith. You know, that sort of... That's better than Big Head. So much better than Big Head.
Yeah, I'd rather be Mr. Smith than Big Head.
Yeah, exactly.
If those are the options.
Those are the two options. You've either got Mr. Smith or Big Head.
I'm not really sure why those would be the two options, like what circumstances would bring me to that point, but if so. No.
There is a full list if you want to look up all the names, but I'm not giving to them to you because they have no mythological importance. Besides that, they were at events, and I can't be bothered to talk about said events. So yeah, there's a list on Wikipedia if you want it. Just, you know, BT dubs and all that. Do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they were described as maidens or required to be maidens as well, because that's just so constant in Greco-Roman mythology. And I was like, how are you so consistent with this across cultures and time? Like, why is this always a focal point, no matter what we're doing?
Betting that's the Christian monks.
That does make an unfortunate amount of sense, yeah.
Like, I can't speak for the Norse people, but I feel like as someone that lives in England, where a lot of these Christian monks resided that wrote down this stuff, I feel like I can say the Christian monks are probably the ones.
Seems like they're influenced.
Like, they might have just been young women in the past, and then they went...
The monks were like, I know what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I also was trying to, like, determine in mythology, like, were they mortal or were they also, like, spirits, some said, and then some said, like, gods. But it seems like it was different in different iterations.
I looked up at that as well, and it seemed to be more like gods or spirits than the mortals. It's just a little bit more on that side, I think.
Yeah, which makes sense for them to have like some sort of supernatural background to be doing what they're doing, and not just like regular people walking through a battlefield, yeah, being like, "You get to live, not you though."
Walking around in shining armor, going, "Ah, yes, you, Mr. Man, come with me," and just tearing their soul from the body.
Yeah. And then there were some myths that were talking about how they could protect their loved ones if their loved ones were in battle, but also if they were like on a ship, they were allowed to like make sure it didn't crash and there wasn't an unfortunate shipwreck. But they could cause other warriors who they disliked to meet unfortunate ends even off the battlefield. So they had a lot of sway over who was making it to the next.
Yeah, this is where it like falls in, like, is this just like the basically the translations or the writing down is like mixing up, and like actually these and the Norns were almost one and the same. We found out about them in different contexts. So the actual Vikings, the Norse themselves, thought of these as the same beings. But when we got to the stories and just wrote down and found out and their context of them, they became separated. That's like, it is. A lot of the Valkyrie stuff was like, oh, and this is up for debate. And this is up for debate. And it was.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but I don't like it. I want to know the answers.
Yeah, it was not super clear. There was a lot of debate, too, about what the Valkyries did in their free time, from what I saw. And, like, sometimes it seemed as though they were just beings that only existed when, like, needed on the battlefield. But then there was also some stories where they were, like, in a service role in Valhalla.
Yeah.
So they would be, like, hanging out there, which is kind of what happens in Magnus Chase.
Yes.
I believe it's like they're at Hotel Valhalla. So I guess that's where Rick was getting it from. I did see as I was reading through, like, oh, he chose to go with like this line or that line of thinking, which for children's media, it's probably good to pick and choose a little bit. But yeah, I think it's really strange that they would be like waitstaff on their off time if they're like deciding the fates of warriors. And then when they're not doing that, it's like just working at Valhalla.
Yeah.
Seems a little confusing.
Talking about Magnus Chase, should we go and talk about what the Valkyries are like over there?
I think we should.
Yes, so the Valkyries and Magnus Chase. I realise I start a lot of... With someone here recording with me, I've become more self-conscious of how I start the events, the segments.
That's fair.
They're not events, they're segments. And I realise they do yes a lot. I go, yes, welcome back, yes, hello.
You're just excited to be here.
Whoop, whoop. You know, you got to build in the excitement, haven't you? Yes, okay, so the Valkyries and Magnus Chase. Let's not use the word yes again. Basically, they are the same. Really, a lot, as we've just talked about, they do the dead thing, they serve Odin, they do special tasks for him, they are Odin's Valkyries. We ignore all the gruesome parts, so they don't choose who dies, they don't have that really weird harp thing. Nope.
No intestines.
No intestines, no severed heads being weights and like other bits and ugh, whatever, gunky stuff, you know. All that gunks. And they do the other stuff. They do the service stuff, like I mentioned. So they feed the fallen, because I can't bother to pronounce their Norse name and didn't write it down, in Valhalla.
I can't think of it.
You know, it's one of those words that, until you have to say out loud, it's just that section of symbols.
Your brain just like looks at the letters and moves right along.
Yeah, it's a collection of symbols. That means the dead people. Keep going.
Yeah. Which in the Magnus Chase book happened a lot for me. Like, I can typically get whatever Greco-Roman words necessary, but not the Norse.
So the biggest difference is that these Valkyries all seem to be, in some way, shape, or form, mortal. So they are mortals chosen by Odin, and they're not gods. Not gods at all. Nope.
Yeah, they were really similar to the Hunters of Artemis also, like in the way that Rick sort of adapted them for his world, in that it was like group of kind of magical, mysterious maidens. And he was like, we're just going to make up 12-year-old girls. Like, that's all that we need to do here. Which is like, it makes sense for his books and his demographic, but they're like so similar. And I thought it was funny that he was like, this model worked before. We're just going to use it again here.
Yeah, they're not all quite 12-year-old girls. There's some old people in there as well. It's like the maiden. He just went, maiden? Nah, just females.
Yeah. He's like, we're not gonna mess with that.
No. I got on a slight side tangent and started thinking about the Freya of it all. And how, because they, okay. So they take the dead up to Valhalla. All good, all nice. But how do the other half of the dead go to Folkvagnar, which is Freya's land? And like, so I got in a little rabbit hole, and Freya just seems to appear with them and just goes, how could we meet? We see in one of the books, it is Hotel Valhalla, that she just appeared with them and went, yes, you are mine. Hello, you are dead. And they're like, what? You know, as you would be if you just apparently died, it would be a bit of a mind blow. And like, and then she talks to Magnus at one point and goes, be nice, shame that I couldn't get to you, but Odin got to you first. So it's that whole, that like, how they get to Folkvagnar seems very confusing. And if the Valkyries have anything to do it, and like how it works. But then again, it's up for debate, and the historians haven't worked it out. So, TBH, can't be bothered. Like, if they can't work out for the real myths, that means there's no book equivalent because they're based off each other. So Rick just went, it's a thing, and moved on. And that is what we shall do, because if we ever try to work that out, you know I have run out of ideas. I have fully run out of ideas. If we ever get to that point, you can go, Owen, you've run out of ideas. And then you can give me new ones.
It's a good system.
It's a great system, but no one gives me new ones. yeah, so that's really the Valkyries in Magnus Chase. They are lead gatherers of the dead heroes of Slate who've died in battle, waiters in Valhalla, and a bit of a police force up there as well. So, and they're mortals.
Yeah.
Or semi-mortals.
I would have liked to know how they were chosen for Odin as well, though, because we only get Sam's backstory, right? Like, and it seems like she was chosen.
Should we have a little dive and see how people might become Valkyries?
Yeah.
Music. Becoming a Valkyrie. Step one. No, it's not that easy. But we are gonna have to work it out. So should we run through every single Valkyrie we know? Which is actually surprisingly quite for considering we only really know one of them. We know there's quite a few others that are named. So there's Gunn Ilya. She was the old captain, the original captain of the Valkyries, a daughter of Thor, who became, this is the key point here, they became captain while already being at Hotel Valhalla. All of these that I'm about to list off to you, besides Sam, are also residents of Hotel Valhalla. They're not just... So they were mortal, now they are the fallen. So it's which is questionable. And then, so next on my list, we've got Sam, and I mean, you already know who it is! Sort of vibe. Then there's Irene, she just died. Margaret, she just died. Didn't really know anything about them. They died. Move on. there's Kara, who is Hotel Valhalla's manager's girlfriend. I've forgotten their name. It's like I can't remember. And she is in the running for to be the new captain, but is denied. And we can presume she is also a hotel resident, especially if she's dating the manager, you know? Refendris Exodorit. It's a proper Norse name. I can't read it. I tried my best. She also runs for captain, but is denied because of her age. Then there's Boudica, who, you know, the Celt hero that revolted against the Romans. She also runs for captain, but is once again denied because no snacks. That's her. She leaves the meeting to get put forward because no snacks. So that's everyone we know. Okay, so how did they become Valkyries? Well, the only one we actually know that story to is Sam. And she's also right. The only one that's not a hotel resident.
So she's sort of the exception anyway.
Yeah, she's an oddball anyway. But it doesn't seem like she's the first ever to do that. It's just not the norm, I would say. I would hazard a guess at. How does Sam become a Valkyrie? Well, she does a heroic act, but doesn't die. And then Odin's like, I see what you did there. Do you want to, like, work for me? And Sam's all like, yeah, boy, let's go! And becomes a Valkyrie from that.
And then somehow fits that into her schedule with just living a normal life on top of it, which seems exhausting.
Sam's time management must be something that I could only dream of. And most of us humans could only dream of. Her time management, it's mind-blowing, truly. So I feel like it's a good assumption to make that a Valkyrie is chosen by Odin because of some heroic act. Like, it's a reward. Like, you did something cool. Therefore, you now can work for me if you wish. It's like a reward. A reward where you have to become a waiter for the rest of your existence.
Yeah. And spend a lot of time on battlefields.
Just like flying above going, who's dying in a good way today?
Also, they're not just in battlefields now because it's seemingly anybody who dies heroically in any like violent heroic situation. So you've got a lot of range to cover as a Valkyrie now, as opposed to...
I think it has to be some form of battle. What's the odd one? There's the one guy that battled the sea? Like, that was his enemy.
And who's who's Magnus's friend who's Irish? What's her name?
Mallory.
Yeah, Mallory stopped, like, a car bomb, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, she got in. Called the Troubles. I mean, they're called the Troubles, but it's really a downplay of what it was. So, you know, you could say it's an ongoing battle. You know, I really don't want to talk about it because I am not well educated enough. And they are literally the next door neighbors, you know, country wise.
I can't relate to that.
So, you know, actually, it's rather simple to become a Valkyrie. All you got to do is something cool. Well, first of all, you've got to be a female. Then you've got to do something cool. And here's the key part. It's something cool that also catches Odin's eye. You know, you've got to be right time, right place sort of cool. And then, ta-da! You're now the Valkyrie. Well done. Claps. Big claps all around. That's it. You win. You've won the game. The game to become
I don't know if you're going to actually enjoy your prize, but you have it now, and it seems like an eternity deal.
Yeah, I do have questions about Sam and being immortal and being a Valkyrie. Like, when she dies, does she just move to Hotel Valhalla as a Valkyrie? Is like that her automatic point?
Yeah. I feel like she should, because wouldn't it be so sad if she went to some sort of other afterlife after, like, actually being friends with these people? But she also doesn't believe. I guess she probably wants a different afterlife, though, because she is religious. That's confusing.
Is there an afterlife after the afterlife, you know? Cause...
Yeah. Like, once Ragnarok happens, then she can go.
Rick, your world building's mad.
I feel like he accidentally creates, like, wormholes. Just by trying to combine all these things.
Thousands. But his get away with it card is humans thought of this so it's real. If humans believe the thing is real, that is literally the basis for all his magic systems. If you believe it could be real, then it is probably real somehow, you know?
Yeah.
Apparently we are both in a universe and yeah, it's madness. Like, the Earth is in space, but also a god. And probably not just one god, but multiple gods. And the sky is also a god, but also multiple gods.
And but science is definitely still real.
But the science is also 100% real. Like, there's still a burning... Well, it's not really burning, but a nuclear explosion happening thousands and millions of miles away. You know?
Yeah.
Everything. It's all real. Just, like, chill out, guys. Calm down. Like, just...
It's just all happening all at once, and you just can't think about it too hard.
No, yes, yes. And it's my job to think about it hard for you.
Yeah, don't think about it. Just tune into Through the Mist and you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, just don't worry, guys. I got you covered. And to be honest, that's all I had for today's episode. It's a short one. I can feel like it's going to be a short one. I don't know. I might just keep in a lot more of my rambles then. So, since that's the end of everything, or wraps up the Valkyrie chat, Megan, you want to mention anything?
Sure.
The people should, yeah, I don't know, maybe go and do with their days?
Yeah, if you have some free time and you're looking for some suggestions, you could listen to the Monstrous Woman podcast, where my co-host Quinn and I discuss different media, so Greek mythology, the Harry Potter books, we're doing fairy tales right now, and we talk about women's representation in those stories and worlds. And if in a couple years you potentially want to read a book, I write books and they'll eventually be out. And so you can look at my Instagram, Megan Peterson Writes, for that.
Promo for future books that aren't even out yet. Loving it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So go on, do all the things. There'll be links down below to her Instagrams and the podcast. So go links down there. Go click on them and expand your knowledge through the world of podcasts. Yeah. Thank you for indulging this theory. If you have any comments on this theory or theories you only want me to discuss, you can email them through to through.t.mist@gmail.com, or you can follow the Instagrams @through_mist. Make the follow the podcast, like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, whatever you have to do to help get the podcast out there. I've been Owen. You've been
Megan.
And come back next time as we try to see. And I fell over once again.